The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Home Field Advantage. I think that's a perfect name for the show. Wouldn't you say, Teresa Autry? She's, of course, with Expert Realty, teresa.expertrealty at gmail.com. 294-4210. Do more people get in touch with you on the phone, or do they get in touch with you on email? See, I've known you for 30 years. And I will say this, unless you have a good 15 to 20 minutes, I would email Teresa instead because she loves, she's a people person. That's why she's so good at what she does. She will talk for a little bit, but I love that about you.
Well, I'm all about finding a solution to the problem, being a connector in the real estate world. Like, if I can't do it, I might have a sub or a builder or another agent or someone like that. So I want to connect people and I want to educate people. And some things are not a clean and dry answer, mm-hmm. a yes or no. Sometimes you need to make people aware that there's other things that need to happen in the process.
Yeah. Today we're going to be getting
A lot of people, they'll reach out via text. And I think that's just the world we're living in. Or they'll reach out and I'll say, when's a good time for me to call you? And then I call them because I want, if you're buying a house, I want your wish list. Give me everything you want.
Yeah.
And then we'll go from there. If you're selling a home, give me everything about it. So those calls do take a few minutes. So if I take time to get back with someone, it's because I'm going to give them the same service I would want.
Here you go again, because we're not going to get to our topic because you're throwing stuff out. And this is giving me lots of questions here. Teresa Autry, Home Field Advantage, right here on Tony Curry Radio. You can hear the show at least 5 days a week. We run it every single day of the week. And of course, wherever you get your favorite podcast. And if you're wondering if and when to buy a home, maybe you just sold a home. You're like, wow, I wish I had known that. I wish I had heard the show before I did that. What typically are things right now in your selling area, in the Hoover area, and I know you sell all over the place, that people really want in a home now?
It's going to depend. If you're the younger group, you want low maintenance. You want something that's efficient, energy efficient. Green is really big right now. Mm-hmm. You also are going to want something close in, you know, the millennials, the younger generation, they don't want that hour commute or anything like that. If you're in the family state of life, they want something bigger, better school systems. They're going to want all the bells and whistles. But when thinking about the topics for today, I thought, well, one good thing is when you're looking to buy, do you want to build or do you want to buy something on market? Now, a lot of that depends on where you are in your life. You know, yeah. Is it a job transfer where you have to be in by the end of the year, or you're trying to get your children enrolled in school before school starts? So some of the life factors factor into the situation. But right now, people are loving the modern look. They're loving the stainless steel or wood appliances, you know, the upgraded appliances, upgraded lighting.
I'm thinking more structural. Mm-hmm. You mentioned last week about walk-in basements. Mm-hmm. And it seems like the more people I've been talking to, they want a basement. And we need to have a basement if you're in the South because of tornadoes. You need to have a basement but people want to be able to see the sunlight. They want to have sunshine. And that seems to be a home that a lot of people like, but it's hard to find.
Well, the daylight basements is something that we actually specialized in when I first started in the building industry and the new construction, because you're right. The things that everybody, I mean, they fly off the shelf faster than you can get them listed, mm-hmm. are the one levels with a full daylight basement. Those will sell every day and twice on Sundays. Yep. The other one is the master on the main with the en suite, or a lot of men call it the man cave, or a lot of families call it the playroom or the rec room. So if you have children, school age, whatever, they want to make the downstairs kind of like their room and leave the upstairs more formal for guests to come in. But downstairs, they can watch TV, play pool. They can go down there and, you know, I've been installed a lot of mini bars and stuff like that down there. So you can almost have summer fun living all year round. Watch a football game, put a big TV up. And if it's insulated well enough, you don't hear too much upstairs.
Yeah.
So for different reasons, which is a lot of people work from home, they can have the peace and quiet. But downstairs is very versatile. You can do an office, you can do an ensuite, you can do playrooms, rec rooms, whatever.
Did COVID change the way we buy homes, not the way we buy homes, but the homes that we want in our lives, did that just totally throw us off because everyone started working out of their homes? And now all of a sudden they're like, I'm not working out of my home anymore, but I certainly liked having an area where I could actually go off, maybe even have some refuge. Maybe I could be in my office. I even call, you know, I'm in my master bedroom right now as my do the studio. And I've had that for like the last 3 or 4 years and I love it. But I love telling my kids, come to my office. It's great. Come to my office.
It's one thing when you have a studio student who has a lot of work to do and they can go and be quiet and go down there and study, make a home office. As I said, the more versatile the room is, the better chance it is. So I get everybody wants to customize stuff, but unless you're going to stay there 10 to 15 years, which is those growing years, you're kind of going to want to limit it to be in a versatile place because in-laws come to visit, ex-laws come to visit, children, blended families, all that sort of thing. But during COVID, people were fixing up stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why the material shortage came out because they were fixing all the honey-do list. And now that people have realized the benefit, you know, I know some people that still only work 2 days a week in an office and 3 days from home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so making it where their kids can go study or their college kids can come home for the weekend and have a space by themselves, or husbands and wives need that break.
Yeah.
You know, and they need to decompress when they come in, then that's just a safe haven. You know, and I would always say, if you're going to finish out a basement, make it daylight for sure. Put a full bathroom in there.
Yep.
Just go on ahead and do it. And then the other thing is make sure you're insulated the sound, because not just for hurricanes and tornadoes, but also if you have a kid that plays the drums or someone that plays piano, or it's just a lot more peaceful life.
How
and also making that go out to your back area,
mm-hmm.
can also make something very entertaining for people.
I've owned both, and I know certainly the one I liked the most, but when you're building a bathroom into a basement, would you please explain to people some of the intricacies of having a lift in the basement? Because one bathroom I don't have a lift in this bathroom here, and I was not told about that. And obviously, if you don't have a lift, explain to people what that lift is and is it worth it?
I want to make sure. Are you talking about a sump pump?
Yes, I'm talking about because I mean, it like poops will go gravity, right? So, I mean, if you're going to the bathroom, you're below ground, you have to have something to lift that up to the sump pump or out to your septic tank. If you don't, it just sits. So in other words, you can't really go number two downstairs.
Well, what we suggest, and I always suggest, is build something that a 5 or 6 person family can utilize in case of emergency that's going to maintain itself.
Okay, get a lift.
So yep. I always talk with people, if we're going to dig out a basement, then it's a little different. But sometimes you always put a sump pump in there to lift everything out. It's cheap. I mean, it's cheap in relativity to having a plumber come back every 4 or 5 game days,
yeah.
you know, 4 Saturdays in October, and it's a mess.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
So if you're inviting somebody over for the football game and you guys are going in and out, well, you don't want an embarrassing situation to happen. So spend the money up front to get that done properly. The other thing is listen to your builder and make sure that they're not so new that they don't know the benefit of having a sump pump. The other thing is always make it a full bathroom, and also to include if you're going to have a wet bar, if you're going to have a mini kitchen for elderly who may come to visit during the wintertime or something, just make sure you've done all that in advance.
Yep.
It's always easier to do that stuff before the sheetrock goes up
mm-hmm.
than it is to come back later and try to do it later. It's just a more beneficial package.
She is she's great. She's been a broker for 30 years. Teresa Autry, teresa.expertrealty @gmail.com. 294-4210. She's right here in Hoover, but she serves the metro area here. And I'm Tony Curry, and I've been a friend of hers for a long period of time. It's a show I've been wanting to do for a long period of time. She calls me next, bada bang, God places people in our lives, and I'm so happy and blessed to have her here. I wanted to ask you a couple more things real quick before we get into buying or building. First of all, it seemed to me, maybe I'm showing my age here, but a generation or two ago, the only reason you would move to sell a house and then buy a home is because you'd be moving for a job or moving for a mate. Perhaps you met somebody long distance or whatever you're moving. And otherwise, you just stay put. Now it seems like people are moving because they want to. They may not even be upsizing or downsizing. They just decide, or maybe they're playing the market. Maybe they're like, yeah, I can make a lot of money on this. But of course, if you're selling a home and the market's really hot, you're also going to be buying a home that's going to be really, really hot. So unless you're planning on sitting out for a couple of years and trying to flip it and make some money. What are your percentages there of people who buy and sell homes because they have to and buy and sell them because they want to?
It's really close. It's about a 50-50. It's really more like 54-55% on the want to. The rest is, and you have to think about the country we live in. We have a lot of military that are moving. When people retire, it's very common for them to want to downsize to get rid of the high utility bills and things of that nature. Also, low maintenance. And you've got low maintenance coming from both ends, the older generation and the younger generation. They are not looking for the big acreages anymore. Now, families are, you know, and we'll discuss some of that a little bit further on. But one of the things I noticed was people get married for, people buy houses for the seven reasons, which is life or death, job promotion, demotion. And then, of course, when you're looking at capitalizing, a lot of people stay in the house for the tax breaks. And so after a few years, you know, you want a bigger tax break. You want to do something different. Yeah. So there's different reasons. Some people right now are doing what we call Airbnb in their homes in certain cities. And so they're keeping the real estate, but they're starting to use it in a different way.
Yeah. And you always want to check your jurisdictions and where you live for those Airbnbs, because not all cities allow that to happen. Teresa Alchie joins us here for Home Field Advantage. Final question, then we'll get into our topic here. You and I have been talking off air, as I do with everybody, and we were talking about there is a shortage of homes in this country, and it does seem like we're getting older as a society. We're living a little bit longer. So if we wanted to build the perfect set of homes that would be most susceptible or easily to be lived in by what we have in this country right now, what will we aim for? Will we aim for the younger group? Will we aim for the older group? Would we build homes that are for 55 and up? What would be the ideal home for you right now? I know that a lot of cities are building, and I know Project 8 is probably not the proper way to say it because it always sounds like it's a slum, and it's not. Some of these homes that are cookie cutter homes, a lot of people like that. And I know a lot of people don't like garden homes because they're cookie cutter homes, but the inside of the home is always different. But again, from a maintenance standpoint, you're talking about a postage stamp yard. You don't have a lot of things to worry about. I actually looked at a couple of garden homes when I did, you know, and we all go through that domestic part of our life where we want to have a yard, a dog and all that stuff. And you know, when you're 58, like me, I'm kind of done with that part. But what would be the perfect thing to build right now, you think?
I think to be honest with you, in my opinion, people kind of do shy away from the cookie cutters, but they're still really good for the young people starting out, the older people downsizing, and the people that want to maintain that low maintenance lifestyle. You know, you'll see a lot of the crowds that want to live just outside of the Birmingham city limits, but they want it close to Lakeview and Southside and, you know, the entertainment district, but you'll see them buying a little bit further out. Now, also, you can get something a lot better out. I will tell you something that I'm seeing being asked for, and we'll talk about this in just a second, are family compounds.
Yeah.
And the other thing is the custom homes, you want to make sure you get with a builder that's supposed to build that kind of home. Like, you would not go to a tract builder to have him build you a custom home.
Yeah,
you wouldn't go to a custom home builder to build your tract home. It just would not be feasible. It'd be like going to the pawn shop to buy a car. Mm-hmm. It just is not the way you would handle it.
Yeah.
So with that being said, also think about your needs versus your wants.
Okay.
And this is very big because you can put a $50,000 kitchen in and you can put a $5,000 kitchen. But when you get ready to sell your home, anybody buying it, especially females, are going to look at bathrooms and kitchens. Mm-hmm. Men are going to look at garages and basements.
Yeah.
It's just how it is.
Yeah.
Children and animals, like you said, will want the yard, the fence, the school, and all that good stuff. But right now, having a sustainable home is really what the world's looking for. They don't want to have to worry about it in 3 years if it's out of warranty. So a lot of builders not only give the 1 year builder warranty, but my MM provides you with an additional warranty.
Mm-hmm.
Also, some people will go out and they'll want it customized. And I used to tell people, we can build you anything you want. You just got to write a check for it.
Yep.
You get prices back. If they don't fall in your budget, you know, consider what that trade-off is. Mm-hmm. Does that kind of make sense? Like,
sure.
I would personally choose a full brick house because we're in the South. Tornadoes and hurricanes.
Yeah.
Me, when I had my bigger house, it was full brick. The other thing is I like, one thing that I see people asking for is either sideways driveways or rear entrance driveways, because it is kind of ugly to pull up to a house and you've got nothing but garage.
Yeah.
You got 2 feet of a house and 40 feet of garage.
Yeah.
And so some different things that people are looking for are, again, one level living. Even if it's got a basement, if you can, all the bedrooms on one level is super, super wonderful. If you have the split bedroom plan where the children can sleep or the guests can sleep on one side of the house and mom and dad or whoever can sleep on the other side, and then have all that.
Why don't we have more one level homes? Just because they take up more space on ground, more square footage?
It's cheaper to build up than it is out.
Sure.
It's like putting on weight, Tony.
Yeah.
If you get wider, your clothes get more expensive. If you get taller, not so much.
That's true. All right. So right down the street. Actually, down the street, about 20, 25 minutes from here from where my kids go to school, they're building a new, I guess a subdivision, you call it. I think they're like 16 lots. They're for sale. And every day I go by, it says 15, then it's marked off. This is 14 and marked off as 12. So they're selling lots. They're building homes there. And today you wanted to talk about buying versus building. I think in a perfect world, if we all had all the money in the world we wanted, we'd all like to build our own dream home. That'd be great. But it doesn't always have to be a dream home. Sometimes it just needs to be a home that we like. And for me, if I could build a dream home, I think I'd have all these ideas, but I'm not an architect. I don't have blueprints, and I'd have a difficult time trying to lay everything out. It would probably look really funky. Although a builder would probably say, well, here's how we do that. We put this over here and we put this over here. So little basics, biggest difference between buying and building a home. And again, when I'm thinking about building a home, for some reason, I always think it's going to be over budget. If I've got $500,000, and I want to build a home and I have a tract of land already. For some reason, I realize it feels like I'm probably going to spend $700,000 on it than $500,000. Is that typically what happens?
No.
Okay.
I'm very budget conscious.
Good, good.
If you tell me in advance, I don't want to go a penny over every time we get to a decision-making process. And I'll give you, for instance, I built many homes where we had what we call limited selection. We'd give you five plans to choose from, five colors. If you went outside of that, there was an upcharge.
Yep.
No problem for you doing it, but I'm going to let you know right then and there, hey, it's going to be 150 for a paint change or to add another bathroom or to cover the deck or to screen in the deck. That's one of the huge things is screened in patios and decks. It's just different things. So each step, your agent and your builder, and you should always be in communication throughout the whole process. And what I tell people is, again, we go back to that wish list. Because I have 1,500 to 2,000 plans.
Right. Back up. When you say keep in touch, when you say in touch with this person is building one of the most important parts of your life. This is where you're going to raise your children. This is where you're going to live, hopefully for a long period of time. What's too much? Every day? Every 3 minutes?
This is what I tell people. The first 2 weeks and the last 2 weeks, I'm going to get on the nerves. Because that's a lot of decision making. And the first 2 weeks, the last 2 weeks is the busiest because I'm all about preparing and setting expectations.
Okay.
So if I prepare for you in advance, and what my subs and a lot of other subs do not like, people coming on their job site every day to tell their people what to do. You know, these people are paid. And we, in fact, have some of that discretionary stuff in our contracts. I basically said, if you have a problem, you call me, you call the builder. You do not deal with the subs because that's not your business. You don't pay them. Mm-hmm. So therefore, don't have them to do anything that could be up or down on the project. And if you have a good builder, he or she and their sub or superintendent, project manager is usually on site every day anyway. But again, there's certain things you can't do certain times of the year. And it takes, depending on the size, you can take 120 days to years to build a home. And if you're talking about a slab home, 1,600 square feet, plain Jane, 120 days is more than enough. But that first 2 weeks, you're making a lot of those decisions that impact down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want that stuff pumped in the basement? Do you want that bathroom finished? Because I can give you a price for unfinished basement, stubbed in for plumbing basement, or a fully finished basement. And then to what level do you want it fully finished? You know, are you okay with the drop ceiling and recessed lighting, or do you need some extra fireplace down there with a full kitchen and a butler, you know, area? It just is going to depend on the situation. But I believe I like to do weekly updates as a generic form. Everybody gets a weekly update, no matter buyer or seller. However, as things creep up, I try to, in real time, call the person and say, hey, but if you've done your homework in advance and you've got all this set out, and it is strenuous. I mean, you're going to spend 12, 14 hour days some days just nothing but making decisions.
Sure.
Some people have design centers that you can go to and sit down with a decorator. Again, do you want to finish this kitchen and make it a $50,000 kitchen or a $5,000 kitchen? And that's all going to depend on the individual. Now, I have a lot of corporate guys. They don't care. Just get them in something because they got to be at work for 15 hours a day anyway.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So each person, I want to give them the autonomy and let them run with it, but you have to let them run with it within some sort of conformity.
Gotcha. Teresa Autry, she's the best. She's a broker expert realty at 294-4210, 294-4210. She will answer the phone. Call her anytime. Just don't call her too late at night. She's a good gal. She needs her sleep. So when you say buying versus building, I think, okay, I'll use $450,000 is the budget. I got $450,000. That's it. I can't go a penny over. Don't want to go a penny under. $450,000. If I want to build, can I get the same home for $450,000 than I would if I would just buy a $450,000 home? Because what do we talk about? We have to buy the land, right? We have to find the builder.
Not necessarily. Okay. If you're in a development and say they have acre lots, you wouldn't have to do that. Okay. And that's what I was just going to say is that 450 number is going to depend. Are you buying in a subdivision that maybe has a 1 acre lot and the infrastructure's done and you got septic or you got sewer and the utilities are running and all that? Or you got some raw dirt that nothing's on?
Yeah.
There's an impact fee is what I call it. And that's the impact of adding the infrastructure. However, if you go to a builder and he has a subdivision and you get an estate lot, 3 to 5 acres, he's going to handle all that. But what I would do is generally show you items from around 375 to 475 and say, we need to gauge right here because 450 is your hard limit. I promise you, you're going to want some upgrades that are important to you. Like, I know this is crazy, but I love pull out drawers from the cabinets I had in where my old houses. You could open the bottom cabinets and pull out shelf instead of having to dig all around. But that's important to me. It might not be important to someone else. The other thing is, you know, if a shelf is buying a house, he's going to want that kitchen galore, you know, because that's his living. However, a radio DJ or someone who is in the entertainment industry may want great lighting, soundproof rooms. And they want somewhere they can go and rehearse and scream and shout and make noise and it not bother anybody. So each one's different. You can get close to the same house.
Have you lived next to me, by the way?
No.
Do you know how I live? Do you hear, me screaming at
night? I know people.
Okay, so.
And another thing I did want to make a mention of is HOA versus non-HOA. People are tired. They're tired of getting yelled at because the grass is an inch tall.
Yeah.
They're tired of getting yelled at because they paint. I have one guy painted the house the same exact color at Brook Island HOA building because he didn't ask permission. People are tired of that. I don't need you to police what color my house is. You know, I need you to maintain the neighborhood.
And I sure as hell don't need to be paying somebody every month to tell me what I can and cannot do.
Exactly.
The last neighborhood I lived in, you weren't allowed to have colored Christmas lights. I'm like, and of course, I wasn't part of that. I was one subdivision over. I was past that. I was in Marwood, not Heatherwood. But I was like, and I always wondered why people only had white lights. And of course, one person started putting color lights up. Everyone put color lights up. They never said anything. So we kind of let it go. So and we're going to have to we're going to run out of time. The show's flying by today. And it's a great topic. So let's back up just a little bit. I do a lot of that. Typically, you don't have a lot of families that go look for tracts of land unless maybe it's a lake home or it's a second home where they want to buy the land and the sewer and everything's not already set up, right? Because unless they're buying in a subdivision, you want to find a place. What I'm saying, I guess, is you want to find a place where everything's pretty much set up already and they're buying. If you go to one of these land sales, typically there's already sewer and stuff, or they're going to lay sewer for an entire subdivision. So you're not having to pay all that infrastructure, right? Out of pocket, because I'd imagine that's incredibly expensive.
It really is. And just tap on fees can be from $4,500 to $7,000-$8,000, depending on the district you're in.
What is it? What is
tap on fees? Oh, that's to tap into the sewer, tap into the drainage and the water and the gas and all that. The other thing is you're going to want to know, here's a huge thing, internet speed. A lot of people that work from home need that 5G. They cannot, they can't function with a smaller internet base. So instead of buying the, not routers, but the broadband things, they end up getting somewhere that has the 5G already there.
Yeah.
So internet's a huge thing. HOAs are a huge thing. And the other thing is the time frame. If something's built, you're in it immediately.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a track builder or a custom job that went sideways for whatever reason, it doesn't mean there's something wrong with the house. It could be the people got divorced. It could be that someone died. It could be anything. But if you buy something already built, it does eliminate the customization of it to a certain point. But also, if you're transferring schools and you got to be in 2 weeks, clearly you need to buy something built.
Yeah.
I will say this. Do not get married. Try to have a kid and build a house all in the same year. You either go crazy, lose your mind, become sort of a drunk, or you will just be off the rocker. Yep. That is the that's a recipe for disaster. Try to kind of be more methodical. And we are not always able to do that. You know, children happen and people die and things like that. But if you can, you know, limit yourself to, I would love to build, but right now, what do I need?
Yeah, and I've heard that a lot. It's more what you need and not what you want in that kind of life, right? It's like a God thing. It's like prayers, right? Just give me what I need, not what I want, because normally they're not the same thing.
Well, and some people are really easy to please. Hey, they just want something that don't leak and it's nice, it's clean, it's modern, it's a few years old. So if you're going into something new, you're going to have all the warranties, all the bells and whistles. You're not going to have to call someone to fix the stove or wonder if the roof leaks or anything like that. However, buying a used home or buying a home that's pre-built, you lose the customization. But at the same notion, I always tell people, get all the inspections you need to get. Get every kind of thing you need to get answered prior to. I'm huge on surveys. I'm huge on titles. And I'm huge on, you know, the plans, the layouts, and the repair and records of the home. So whatever you're buying, just you need to be at peace about it. This is your money.
Yeah.
And you're going to be paying for this a long time.
And you're huge on this show, too. Home Field Advantage. Fantastic. Teresa.expertrealty@gmail.com. I feel like we have not even touched the surface on this topic. So we're going to continue this next week. And of course, we love your emails. info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Please send those emails because I know there's a lot of stuff going on. I'm really excited, just in case people don't realize, I owned a home for 17, 18 years, went through the divorce, had to get rid of the house. And now I'm renting a place, getting back on my feet again, super happy. It's all good. I'm blessed, but I'm really looking forward to getting back into another home. And I want it to be my dream home, because I'll be 60 probably by the time I get into that. And you're going to walk me through that process. So you'll be able to see all that right here on this show. Super excited about that. Before we do, you just mentioned a Wi-Fi. Something's happening in my neighborhood out here, Russell Woods, which, by the way, says an Autry property underneath. It's very strange. That is pissing people off like crazy. And that is AT&T is coming in and putting these big ass holes in everyone's yard so they can lay down this Wi-Fi fiber. And they've got these signs. They got these signs that says, get ready for super fast, blah, 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 blah. And then someone's walking around with a marker that says, for damages, call this number, because it's amazing how fast how many holes a day they're doing. And then of course they put the sod, and for the most part, they're doing a pretty good job, but the sod is dying. I don't know if it's because of the time of the year they're doing it. So we got brown marks all up and down our street. And I was wondering, how do you do that? How does a company come in? Do they have to deal with the property owner? How does an AT&T come in and say, we want your neighborhood to have Wi-Fi service, so we want to build this thing so they have a different way to go outside Spectrum or a cable provider?
Well, in some developments, it's done in advance.
Yeah.
Like for the city of Calera, they had a 20-year contract with, it used to be Charter, and then it became Spectrum. And also, a lot of the fiber optics are going in storm-ridden areas. Now, if I remember, that development had initially above-ground utilities.
Mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
And the power line stripping and everything. Well, when we found out that that was not the best way to do it, you could do it underground, a lot of people went back.
Yep.
And they started putting it underground. Now, when you say damages, it is just what you're talking about. I mean, we're all human. We all have errors. And I'm not justifying anything that any utility company does. But when everything's laid out, you have utility easements that are easements for utilities, just what it says.
Okay.
And if you want the high-speed internet, that's great. Well, we got to get it in there. How can we do that? And they go forward. Alabama Power has started to put a lot of underground utilities that were above ground, underground, for areas that flood. It is better to be underground. There's just several reasons why. But if someone accidentally dug up your sod and your mailbox doesn't look right, or they ding something or drop something. Now, our subs were always instructed, let us know immediately so we can call you before you call us, because we want to be friendly to the consumer and to the homeowner. Other people were like, hey, no big deal, fix it back right.
Yeah.
Other people, you would think that it was their last dying breath that they put that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a bunch of Karens. I really do. I think it's a bunch of people just looking for some reason to bitch and moan about things, because it really doesn't change a whole lot. I do understand, though, as a homeowner, someone coming into my yard and digging up my front yard. There's a guy down the street, I swear, and his yard looks like it's a golf green. I mean, it's the smoothest, most beautiful yard I've ever seen.
He probably has Georgia grass. That's what I have. It's beautiful all year long.
It's unbelievable. And he cuts it three different ways. He cuts it with an electric mower, then a gas mower, then he has one of these hand trimmers. I mean, this guy is out there with tweezers. And he's got beautiful grass, and he wears scrubs. He's a doctor or nurse. And so I really appreciate that. And here comes this group of people, and he has nothing to say about it. He has nothing to say. He can't tell them, no, you're not digging in my yard, I guess. I mean, I guess you couldn't fight that. And I'm assuming that's a homeowners association deal, right? That's something where the homeowners association has to agree to that?
Early on, it's the developer and the builders. And like I said, that's when they try to put the infrastructure in then.
Yeah.
It's harder when you come back to a neighborhood after.
Sure.
And yes, I mean, you could say something, but think about if there's 100 people that live in your neighborhood and you're the one.
Yeah.
Then they're going to go ahead and do it. So make your peace with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't fight it. Figure out ways to collaborate with it and to move forward with it instead of, you know, nobody likes to be negative, but some people see a problem with every solution.
Sure.
And you can't help that.
Yeah.
Other people see, hey, this is progress. It's going to make my house more bad. Mm-hmm. Think about that.
Yeah.
You know, and internet's going to be better.
Teresa, you've given me about a million ideas for other shows. There are so many different ways we can go. Everything from fixer-uppers.
That's all I'm here,
yeah, I know. Fixer-uppers. And you mentioned the building and buying situation. We could certainly get into the Airbnbs. I think it's really interesting upgrading homes. I see some people in neighborhoods that are actually upgrading their homes to the point where the home is, it doesn't even look like it should be in the neighborhood anymore. Just so many different ideas. And your ideas, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Tell people how they can get in touch with you, and we'll do this again next week.
You guys can reach out. My cell number is 205-294-4213. Both text, call, be patient. I will get back with you within 24 hours. Email, you can email Teresa.expertrealty, just as it sounds, at gmail.com. And I love the info line. Ask me the craziest questions in the world. I like it.
I love it. Thank you, dear. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.